Tom Murphy from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette joins us to talk a little Razorback football and baseball. Tom, how you doing today, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing quite well. I hope you guys are good.
Well, we just saw on ESPN where Brandon Mitchell has named five schools he's looking at to transfer to, and Michigan just popped up as one. Your thoughts, and have you heard anything?
Well, I haven't heard of a final destination. Just knew that there were schools that had contacted he, his people, and Coach Alvin Foster. I guess kind of working on his behalf a little bit. But I just think, you know, for Brandon's sake, he doesn't have a spring to go through a team, and it's just going to be very, very difficult. I don't think there's a team out there that could say, hey, man, we think you are going to be our starter. If I'm a coach, the best I can tell him is, hey, you can come in and compete. You have a chance. And that's the same thing he had at Arkansas. So I guess I understand him wanting to try to go out and make a name for himself at quarterback in his final year. So I don't begrudge him that, but he's got a tough road.
Yeah, and Tom, I think you might be right, because the thing with Russell Wilson when he transferred was he was a proven starter, and if Brandon was a proven starter and wanted to transfer, then okay. But the fact that he has not been proven, a team is going to say, if you want to come in and compete at camp, we'll give you every opportunity to win, but you got to pick up the system, and it's harder than you think going in learning new terminology, especially when you've been used to something else.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, the kid is no doubt a dynamic athlete. He's no Matt Jones, but he's a great athlete. And just I feel bad for him in that there was never a system that was kind of tailor-made to him.
Because potentially he had it. Don't you think, Tom, like potentially he could have been the starter here?
He potentially could have. The thing is, to give him enough of a package to say, you know, what if he ends up taking 40% or 50% of your reps? To have him have enough package where I think you've got more quarterback runs, you've got more read stuff, they would have had to have – it would have been difficult for them to split their practice time up with the offense Bielema wants to establish and then give him the amount of time he would need, because I just don't think he's a, you know, just a – play action third down type guy and precise passer, and he made so many mistakes in the spring that you just wondered what his effectiveness was going to be if they could give him enough reps to be super effective in a game.
Tom, would you think, though, I saw on the list like Northwestern State, some of those schools, the lower tier Division I schools, would you think that he would be a good fit at something like that rather than going to a Michigan or a big time bowl eligible school?
I do, and not that I know the quarterback situations of any of those other lower run schools, but on the whole, the caliber athlete they're recruiting at quarterback, unless he's come up through their system and he's a veteran, a junior, a senior, they're not going to be, you know, the higher recruited athlete. So the chance that Brandon could come in as a senior, pick up the offense over the summer, and then have a chance at camp would be greater than a Michigan. I don't think there's any question about that.
And when we're looking at that quarterback position, one last question on that is the backup on campus right now, who do you think right now best fits that number two role?
Well, I mean, Austin Allen is a heavily recruited kid, and I would think when he comes in the fall, he'll have a chance to get to number two, although ideally you try to redshirt him and get him staggered another year behind Brandon. But A.J. Derby, I just did not see enough of him in the spring to tell you, oh, I think he's going to develop into a really strong number two. He just didn't get a ton of reps. I would think that in summer workouts, he's going to get as much action as he can with that receiving core, try to improve. I mean, he had a touchdown pass in the spring game, but
you're right.
The coaches would be able to tell you, hey, in his limited amount of work, A.J. did this, that, or the other. But we haven't had a chance to really discuss that with since it's so new.
Yeah, you know, you're right there, especially with Brandon Mitchell being kind of in the mix. Those two guys were taking the reps. And I do want to get your thoughts before we move on to baseball about what Bob Stoops said about the Big 12 and the SEC, saying, you know, that they have had the team that won the national championship, but they think they have a better conference there at the Big 12.
Yeah, I got a kick out of it because some of the national reaction was like, oh, really? Come on, Bob. And I think the comment was something like, well, what has the lower half of the SEC done? You know, sure, they're kind of top heavy, but people were throwing stats out there that some of the teams that finished in the bottom six in the SEC had a pretty strong record over the past, I think it was since 2009, including a national championship from Auburn, to kind of refute what Bob said. And it just kind of comes with, I mean, right now, the SEC is just a top dog. And you're a coach that's been to championship games and had a lot of success. But, you know, your conference, you know, since Texas hasn't had an entrance in the title game, and they've come close. Oklahoma State had a great chance a couple of years ago and blew it. But anyway, right now, it just sounds like a little bit of coaching envy.
Yeah, it seems like it's SEC versus the world, kind of how they're acting.
Tom, let's move to baseball. The Hogs have a weekend series with Tennessee this weekend. Tennessee, not a very good baseball team. They're 6-16 in the SEC, 19-26 overall. The Hogs, this question was asked earlier by a caller. They pretty much need a win out in order to host a regional, wouldn't you think?
I would think that they're getting very close to that. Yeah, because there's not a whole lot of action left for them. I guess it's six games left.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think they're very close to having to do that. They're probably going to regret, maybe, if they don't get one, not closing out last weekend with a sweep at Kentucky when they were right on the verge. And their hitting is just something that concerns you as you go forward. I think their pitching is going to keep them in every game. But if you boot a ball or two, give away a couple of runs, you're losing 3-2 and stuff like that. I don't want to get the cart ahead of the horse. But, yeah, if they finish strong, and they've been playing better lately,
yeah.
If they can win five out of the last six or all six of them, they've got themselves a ton of momentum going to the postseason.
You talk about the hitting. The Hogs right now as a team are hitting .263, which is not great, but then you've got a pitching staff that has a team ERA of 1.77.
It's the timely hits, huh?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
When runners get in scoring position, we're not getting the hits to kind of move them over. We're leaving too many people stranded.
Yeah, pretty much. Tom, let me ask you this. Dave Van Horn has come out and said, you know, this season's not anywhere near over. Guys are starting to gel a little bit better. What have you seen from the baseball team as we enter the last six games of the season?
Exactly what he just said. I mean, they made the switch a couple, 3 weeks ago to get Ferris and McPhee to solidify the infield, and they really needed to do that. The games were getting – they were losing some games and giving away runs they didn't need to because, you know, Anderson just had a throwing issue at short. So they got McPhee in. Ferris, other than booting the ball the other day, has been solid at second. I think it gave them a little bit of spark in their hitting lineup. And that ERA that you guys mentioned, that's .27 better than the next best team in the country. So, you know, they've got a staff that's second to none. And if they could start delivering the timely hits, then they could be a team that could be a powerhouse in the postseason. And that's like Matt just said, they haven't been getting that. And I tell you, this is symptomatic of all of college baseball right now. It's a little frustrating from my point. So often now they're using guys to bunt over. Their three-hole guys are bunting people, and it's just station to station. And I wish they'd had a little bit more pop. I think in terms of the ball, give them a little bit better ball.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. You know, when I look at Tennessee as a team, as I said, they're not very good. Their pitching staff has a .526 team ERA. I think if you're going to get a sweep this weekend to keep that regional bid alive, this is the weekend you do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when they struggled through, when they lost the series to LSU and they, you know, they lost the first one to Ole Miss, you looked at the back end of their schedule, and even though a lot of it was on the road, you thought, okay, they're going to clean up in the back end. And, you know, the Georgia series, you end up, you know, win a couple there, and then Kentucky you could have swept, and now you got Tennessee and Auburn, teams that are below .500. You could finish very, very strong. And even though you look at that ERA, over five, I mean, they faced some pitchers, some midweek pitchers that had five ERAs. You thought, okay, now they're going to break out a little bit. And they didn't. And then I'm thinking about the game in Little Rock, was it Valley or Alabama State? They didn't score, and they could have. sometimes it's just a mystery why they haven't been able to put more runs on the board.
And, Tom, I don't know what you know about some of the rumors about maybe the SEC might go to a 9-game schedule, but when I look at who Arkansas is picking up, 2016, 2017, they're going to play TCU. 2018, 2019, they're going to play Michigan. 2021, it's a makeup of they're going to play Texas. I don't know if I like the 9-game SEC schedule if we're going to continue to schedule these out-of-conference games like a TCU in Michigan.
Exactly. And Texas Tech, you know, there's rumors that the Texas Tech will come on board too. So I'm with you. I don't think it benefits an Arkansas to play 9 plus a tough out-of-conference like that. And certainly teams like South Carolina, Florida, and Georgia will not argue for a 9-game because they've got their tough non-conference in-state schools. And I would think that coaches, possibly 14-14, would be against a 9-game schedule. And I don't think they can do it as early as 14. I think 15 might be as early as they could do it. And it would strictly be TV driven. I mean, I really believe that only TV money.
With the SEC network, yeah, yeah. And then
exactly.
A couple thoughts on the recruiting in Texas. I think that helps playing TCU. You got A&M. And then what about Missouri being the new rivalry or the new common opponent for Arkansas?
Well, it'll be good for them, and I think they're going to wind up having to give up that season finale against LSU. And it might have worked against them that it didn't seem like they were ready to move in that direction. And so they don't even wind up with Missouri on their 2013 schedule, which I thought was a slam dunk, but you know, this one season schedule they put in place where it seems to me Arkansas could have easily been matched up with Missouri for that, you know, rotating
right.
game. No, they wind up with a road game at Florida as if to say, oh, you won't give up the season finale? Well, here, play Florida. So eventually I think that's what we're going to wind up seeing because Texas A&M and LSU want that. And Brett Bielema has already even said finishing up a season with Missouri would be a good rivalry to get started. So I think they're heading in that direction.
Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette on Overtime. Tom, always good information. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Okay, Jen, see you.